This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Hurricane warnings are up today along North Carolina's Outer Banks from Kitty Hawk to Virginia Beach and north to the Merrimack River in Massachusetts. That includes Long Island Sound and New York City. The step was taken because of Belle, the year's first hurricane in the Atlantic. The National Hurricane Center in Miami expects the storm to pass near Cape Hatteras within the next few hours. Forecaster John Hope told CBS News about the probable effects.
The damage in this hurricane, as in most hurricanes, is likely to be confined to a small, relatively small area, not more than 50 miles or so wide, and that will be near the, around the eye of the hurricane. And also, as the hurricane crosses the coast, a storm surge is generated, which means there is a rise in the tide that, in this case, could be up as much as 8 or 10 feet, something like that, above normal. And this would present a hazard for people on the beaches and any place at low levels above the sea.
The Hurricane Center warns that rainfall will increase as the hurricane approaches, and that poses a threat of serious flooding. Violence broke out once again today in the black African townships of Soweto and Alexandra near Johannesburg. Police opened fire on demonstrators. They say one African was shot and killed, an unknown number wounded. Robin Wright in Johannesburg reports what led up to the latest disorders.
Students in both of Johannesburg's black suburbs have attacked schools, government buildings, passing vehicles, and workers trying to commute to the city. At least three schools have been gutted by fire. Reinforced police units have been sent into the troubled townships and roadblocks set up. The disorders today followed an outbreak last night in the Bafutha Swana homeland. The main parliament buildings were burned down by school children and several police and government cars set ablaze. The houses of the homeland's chief African ministers have been put under heavy guard. Police said this morning that the rioting in Bafutha Swana was under control, but the situation in the African townships was called completely unpredictable. Robin Wright for CBS News, Johannesburg.
Heavy fighting is again reported today in the no man's land between the Muslim and Christian sectors of Beirut. One dispatch describes it as frightful and ferocious. Just a week from today, the Republican National Convention opens in Kansas City, and the preliminary skirmishing and sparring, all of it in deadly earnest, is now getting underway. We'll hear about it from Neil Strausser.
It will be like a three-ring boxing match as the Convention Platform Committee and the Rules and Contests Committees of the National Committee meet today. The Reagan and Ford forces will come out fighting cautiously in the early rounds, but the Reaganites are obviously looking for an opening. An issue on which to show that Ronald Reagan really has more sentimental support in the convention than the president. The Reagan forces won a preliminary bout yesterday in the Platform Committee organizing session when they pushed through an amendment providing for election of subcommittee chairman rather than appointment by the Ford-dominated leadership. And even though Reagan has called for agreement on a generalized platform acceptable to both sides, conservatives supporting him serve notice they want stronger stands. In the Rules and Contests Committees of the National Committee, Reagan forces may test the sentiment on freeing delegates of binding primary rules and on a New Jersey delegate challenge. But the National Committee groups are Ford-dominated. Any serious punching likely will wait until the convention's Rules and Credentials Committees, made up of delegates, take up the issues in turn later this week. Neil Strausser, CBS News, Kansas City.
As Neil Strausser noted, conservative supporters of Reagan are pushing for strong positions in the platform, and Eric Engberg in Washington has some details on that.
A Republican platform fight now appears a certainty, a fight which will be an early test of Ford versus Reagan delegate strength, with the winner picking up valuable momentum in the battle for the nomination. A group of Reagan supporters has decided to push for platform planks incorporating conservative positions on several issues. One of the leaders of the movement, Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina, denies it's part of Reagan's convention strategy.
Governor Reagan nor any of his people had anything to do with this. There are just some of us who are sick and tired of mealy-mouthed platforms, and we think this is an opportunity to show to the American people that here is a choice.
Well, what will be your position, for example, on the Panama Canal?
Don't give it away.
Aren't those now fighting words to people in the liberal and moderate wings of the Republican Party?
Well, frankly, as Clark Gable said, I don't care.
A platform fight could help Reagan if planks are approved, which directly or indirectly criticize President Ford's policies. Such a test, which the conservatives feel is easier to win than a vote on Mr. Ford as a person, would give a psychological lift to the winner in the critical hours just before the actual presidential balloting. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Washington.
The Democratic National Convention here in New York last month breezed through its platform debate with scarcely a ripple of discontent. And now, with all that behind him, the Democratic standard bearer is girding himself for the main event. Ed Rabel reports from Plains, Georgia.
By the time Labor Day gets here, that's the day presidential campaigns traditionally get underway, Jimmy Carter's campaign will be already speeding down the track. This week alone, Carter has scheduled 3 political trips and 3 major campaign addresses. Today in Washington, he will deliver a talk on consumer affairs at the Ralph Nader Public Citizens Forum luncheon in Washington. On Wednesday, the Democratic nominee will be in Atlanta to urge better implementation of existing laws before the Bar Association. And on Saturday, Carter journeys to Charleston, West Virginia for a speech at a Jefferson Jackson Day dinner. California Governor Jerry Brown will come to Carter in Plains, Georgia for a strategy session on how best to campaign in California. Such intensive campaigning on the eve of the Republican National Convention is seen by many as a signal to the Republicans that Carter does not intend to remain quiet, that in spite of polls showing him well ahead of the Republican nominee, whether it be President Ford or Ronald Reagan, Carter has not grown overconfident. As one Carter aide put it, we do not intend to see him fall victim to the Dewey syndrome. Ed Rabel, CBS News, Plains, Georgia.
This is the second anniversary of a landmark event in American politics. On August 9, 1974, Richard Nixon resigned the presidency and Gerald Ford was sworn in to succeed him. Renewed efforts are now being made to end the coal miners' walkout in Appalachia. Nelson Benton in Washington tells us about them.
United Mine Workers President Arnold Miller is calling in his union's executive board today to wrestle with how to end a wildcat strike that has spread through 8 coal-producing states. Miller says the board will consider a resolution on dealing with those who have been divisive, including expulsion from the union. Miller's efforts at conciliation yesterday were disastrous. A scheduled meeting at Cedar Grove, West Virginia, dissolved into a gripe session among strikers after local police authorities told Miller there had been threats of violence if he attended his scheduled session with local miners. Miller said he went to Cedar Grove despite the threats, but he said he did not attempt to cross a picket line set up at the meeting hall. The Wildcat strike, which has idled an estimated 100,000 miners, was triggered by a grievance at Cedar Grove and subsequent court action and fines to force strikers at Cedar Coal Company back to their jobs. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
The United Rubber Workers' strike against the tire industry is now well into its 15th week. Negotiations between labor and management aimed at settling the dispute went on most of the night in Washington, and they'll resume later today in the offices of Labor Secretary W.J. Ussery. There is no word on progress, if any. On an urgent basis, scientists are still trying to figure out what caused the deaths of 27 people who took part in last month's American Legion Convention in Philadelphia. Gary Shepard has the latest.
Because they are still baffled about what the mystery illness is and how it was transmitted to the Legionnaires, Pennsylvania health officials have decided to quiz all 10,000 persons who attended the convention here last month. A detailed questionnaire is being distributed today to American Legion posts in this city and everywhere else in Pennsylvania to be filled out tonight at special meetings at every Legion hall in the state. Among the questions, where did you stay, what did you eat and drink, where did you go, when did you arrive and leave? Most of the questions have already been asked of those who got sick, but now medical detectives want the same answers from those who remained well. Information from the completed questionnaires will be fed into computers, and investigators hope to find some difference or some similarity that might help them solve the mystery. Gary Shepard, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Secretary of State Kissinger today ended his talks with Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto in Pakistan and announced that the United States will send wheat to that country to help it recover from flood damage. Kissinger said up to 200,000 tons of wheat will be provided. The British Army is mobilizing more than 1,400 reservists to deal with renewed rioting in Northern Ireland. The reinforcements are members of the local, largely Protestant militia, the Ulster Defense Regiment.